Let us pray. Heavenly Father, before we go any further, we just want to ask that you take our hearts, take this word and bless it. Help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to believe that you're not done, that you brought us here for more than just a service. You brought us here to meet with you, to be encouraged by you, to hear from you. There's brokenness in this room. There's brokenness in our community and in this world. And yet, we find our hope in you, Jesus, because you care so much about us. So take this time. Use it for your glory. Amen. The scripture comes from John chapter 10. We begin with verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flocks and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep." This is the word of the Lord. Last week, I talked to you and encouraged you to follow God's lead. Where is God leading you? Where is God leading us as a church? I talked about how important it was for you to connect with where people were at, understanding that God puts you in their lives for a reason. There's a temptation sometimes to think that we don't have, that God wouldn't use us because we know the person in the mirror. Because we know the challenges we face, we know the mistakes and the failures that we have experienced. And so we just kind of put it in there, like, I don't know if God can use me. But if God is leading you, if he opens the door, you're probably the person who wants you to go through it. And the challenge that you and I face is, again, that, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. And we come up with a ton of reasons why he shouldn't use us. And so this is where it comes down to, what do you expect of God? I asked you this last week. Do you expect God at work in everyone and everywhere? If you do, then it's not about you. Then it's about, God, what do you want to do in this person's life? And surrendering that conversation, surrendering the results to him. But you and I play a role that sometimes we just kind of undermine and even undervalue. But God is at work in everyone and everywhere. If that is the case, then when we meet someone for the first time, maybe it's just trying to be open. Maybe it's just trying to be aware. I said, Lord, you want to do something here? Maybe he wants to do something in you. But again, just trying to be aware. In that awareness, though, we have to be careful that we don't think that, well, I don't know enough, or I can't say it. It's not me. Let me try and be clear like this, or bring some clarity. I remember hearing a mentor of mine, happened to be a professor of mine, but just a great gentleman, who just said, he says, you will have a greater influence in your circle than I ever would or could. Because God has established those relationships. You have influence there. And if I came in out of nowhere, they might get to know my name, but it's just that guy. But because you know them, if you build that relationship and you share these things, it's amazing how much further that will go. God has given you a circle of influence. God has given you, if you will, even a responsibility to be in their lives, to speak into their lives. Not because you have it all together, not because I have it all together, but because God says, humanity is my method, and it's through the local church I'm going to do it. And who are we to struggle with that? But so I talked to you about, if you will, also this idea that asking, just beginning with a question, can we talk? Now, not in a negative way, not you know, when you were, you know, younger person talking to your girlfriend, hey, can we talk? And it wasn't good, right? Or your boyfriend, no, it's not you, it's me. But it's not that. What we're talking about is really about sharing your faith, but doing it in a way that's natural, that's normal. And I shared how evangelism isn't a bad word. It's just sharing. It's just bearing this witness to God's work already in that person, to what Jesus has done. And so it's about us just helping them understand and process. It's not about us having to defend everything. That's a heavy burden that none of us can carry. It really is. We have an unfair advantage, I said before, Jesus. That when we get to it, it's about what Jesus has done and what he is doing and who the person of Jesus is. So here's one way that we can try to help bridge this gap. If we can understand that every person of the 21 nations and then some around the world have these four universal needs. And remember them, try to put it in the back of your mind when you're talking to someone. It's not linear, it's not like this, the first one to say, okay, it's not that at all. These are needs that every person has of every religion. So how can we connect with them understanding these four things? Now, if you've had any relationship working with students, children, you have seen this in kids. You see this so clearly in kids. Adults, we get really good at pretending. We're good at that. So here are the four universal needs, ready? To measure up to some form of law. We have something we're trying to live up to. Some of us, it's what our parents told us when we were little kids, and we're still trying. I just found out there was a gentleman named Doctor, like his first name was Doctor. And I'm like, what? And then he became Doctor. And I went, wait, Doctor, Doctor? I know, it sounds like a pastor joke. It's not. Apparently it really was. But the reality is, there's something he was trying to live up to. Every one of us have some form, some law we're trying to attain, we're trying to live up to. And so how can we connect with that? That's just a basic thing that everyone does around the world. Doesn't matter what culture we're part of, there's some type of could be cultural norm. If I was to go over to, say, the Davis's household, most likely I would not be offered coffee because they're English. She's English. I would be offered tea, and I would love the tea, and it would be great. But it would, in my house, I would think about tea after you said no to the coffee. I would just offer you coffee. You know, we have espresso, Cuban coffee, and we just go through the list, right? And then be like, no, tea? Okay. But we have these norms. We have these practices. This one is a big one. It really is. You have something you live up to. The challenge that we face as just being human is to understand that Jesus says, I've paid it all, that I'm enough for you, and that together we can handle this thing called life, and that together I got your back. Another universal, if you will, need that every person tries to live up to is to understand their origin. They want to understand where they come from. Tell me about where I am from. How do you explain? I mean, why is science so important? It's great. I love science. I'm also a person that loves faith and loves good theology. And I don't see them diabolically opposed. I don't see them against each other. In fact, I think it's about both end. Now, there's some questions that faith doesn't seek to answer. And guess what? There's some questions that science can't answer either. That's not meant for science to answer. So it's one of those about how can we understand where we come from and understand maybe who we come from. So it's a universal need that everyone wants to understand where they come from. Let me go back here. There's one thing I did forget to mention. I have two people that in my life I've been really, really close to that were adopted. One happened to be this pastor friend of mine who he said, I asked him, I said, how did adoption affect you growing up? He says, well, I came young to the faith. I was very young. And so for me, it made sense because I was like, oh, I get there's a text in the scripture about how we're adopted in Jesus. He's like, I got it probably better than anyone else. I was never adopted. I'm like, I got this. Like, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. And then I talked to, happened to be a sister of mine who was adopted. And I asked her when she, when her father, her adopted father passed away, she said, for whatever reason, I could not deal with just not knowing. I wanted to seek out my birth parents. I just had to know them. And so one knows the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit as parents. The other one just had this, again, this need. I need to find out where I'm from. It's just an innate desire we all have. I move on. We all have a need to overcome temptation. Some practices of religions, it's all about this. Jesus moves past that. It's not about having a list of do's and don'ts, of rules and regulations. It's actually about how we can live and walk in Him. That every step He gives us the grace to keep going. That it's not about us trying to, again, have to measure up or, again, having to be strong enough for whatever comes our way. It's about us relying daily, moment by moment, with breath prayers, just saying, God, I need your help here. Not sure what to do here. Give me the strength here, Lord. When some tragedy happens, there's sometimes just no easy answers. Sometimes we just have to mourn with the people and pray with them and sit with them and say, I am so sorry. Some of you know about Elaine, who softball player, who unfortunately New Year's was just trying to, the fire was starting to go out, just tried to put a little more on there to help it kind of stay in through the night, and it exploded when she poured gasoline on it. 95% of her body burned. She's going to be in the hospital for a year. They just had a great fundraiser up in Fort Pierce for her and help her, but it's going to be an incredibly long journey. There's no easy answers to that. It's going to be painful. It's going to be emotionally, spiritually, physically painful, but yet I believe God is enough. And it's one of those of me telling her that, I believe that, but probably isn't the best thing she needs to hear right now. I tell her, you're gonna make it through, and we're gonna be praying for you. But just to give her an easy answer, well, God did that. Oh my goodness, come on. I don't see Jesus reply in any way like that in the scriptures when people confronted him with tragedies. Never. And yet sometimes we do, and that's not in any way sharing the hope we have in Jesus. The fourth is to experience community. We all need community, whether it be over an international potluck dinner, whether it be just to have someone know you and love you, just as you are. Those we call friends, and maybe even family, right? It's just one of those moments where we know, these are my people. I'm with them, they're with me. To know that it's not just you alone. We all desire that community. That's why that research has found that if people are, if you will, imprisoned and they're in isolation, they can only be limited to a certain amount of days because they found people will go crazy. And that isolation we can feel in a crowded room, can't we? There's people that don't really know that they're loved. There are people that don't believe God loves them. For whatever reason, it is so important that we change that, that we speak against that, that we remind people that God is not finished, He is not done, and He has placed us again where He wants us so that we can share the hope we have in Jesus, so that we can help them know they don't have to have all the answers, just have to know the one who is the good shepherd. I turn your gaze again to the screen. Jesus compares himself to the gate. I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. He's not really talking about sheep, in just case you don't know that. He's using it, it's a great metaphor, to help them understand, listen, there have been people that have come before me. They have said how and to follow the Lord. They've said this is the way. They didn't do it. It wasn't right. He says, but the sheep have not listened to them. And he goes, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Now again, I know next time you're taking care of sheep, this is going to be very helpful. But if you were a shepherd and you were taking care of the sheep know the voice of the shepherd over all the other shepherds. They can share, if you will, a community, if you will. Different shepherds can come bring their sheep. And when they call their sheep to come, guess what? Those sheep only come. It's amazing because they know the voice. They know the good shepherd. The question I have for you is, how good are you at listening? How good are you at listening to your shepherd? saying, God, help me to know your voice. Help me to know when you're leading me. Help me know when you're taking me to safe pasture, that it's maybe a season of recovery, a season of encouragement. But when there's challenges, when there's danger, help me to trust you in that and to know you are good. And he says again, those that have come before come to kill, steal, and destroy. Those sheep have no chance without him. He says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Christianity is too small. Jesus can't be contained. He's too big. Christianity, we have to defend. Jesus, we just have to know. Now, I'm not opposed to Christianity. I love Christianity. I'm a Christian. But understand this. It's about Jesus. And people, when they get to know him, how do you fight that? How do you have a problem with someone who loves you so much, unconditionally? They're the needs that you're going to see. And these, by the way, are the needs I'm giving you, are those needs that are about having that conversation of faith, having that conversation of where they're at, if you will. Do they know the Good Shepherd or not? It's not necessarily, if you will, physical needs. Everyone needs to eat. It's hard for people to hear what you have to tell them if they have hungry bellies. Okay, so as Christians, we need to absolutely serve and care for those needs. But when it comes to those conversations, no. Every person has a need, if you will, to measure up, to know where they come from, to overcome something, and then to the need for community. Every one of us needs that. So next week, I'm going to talk to you, if you will, about those areas that can connect people across cultures. Understanding those needs, what can we find that it just seems to just, no matter what culture we're part of, and these four needs are part of it, it can start, we can connect with people in a way that's normal, that's natural, that's not forced, okay? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the chance to be together. And Lord, I pray that these words would not just be words that I just have said, but that you would bless and anoint and fill, and that you would help us all to be more mindful of where you've placed us, of the conversations we have this week. There's going to be people that are just trying to measure up to an unreachable, unknowable standard. But your son says, just come, follow me. Help us to know that we come from you, and you give us the power to live and overcome. And you gave us the church to not only be a messenger, but to also experience life to the full together. And so, whether we come together in a service of worship of you, or we practice our songs as a choir, or we serve and fill potholes outside, whatever we do, may we do it in community. May we do it together. Lift up every person as partners of all villages, that they would find a ministry together, whether it be in a Bible study, a small group, whether it be two friends that just want to make a difference, maybe reading the children and being mentors. But Lord, we thank you for the privilege it is to serve with you. With you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We can't say thank you enough. Thank you for the blessings that you're doing in us and through us. We lift up and praise you at the same time. Our school, one of our primary missions, we ask that you would anoint the teachers and bless the families. Help them come to know you. Use us as you see fit. We pray for all our missionaries that we support, all our missions, and all of us on the front line of ministry, whether it be in the business world, whether it be in our community, whether it be where we volunteer. Fill us up, Lord. You've called each one of us to serve you. Lord, we also want to lift up the churches in our area, both in our denomination and without. Lord, throughout your people, you're raising up to be your hands and your feet, your light and your love. Help us, Lord, to be exactly who you want us to be. Help us to follow your lead, to not be afraid. We pray this in your Son's glorious name, and we also remember the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.